Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events relating to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
Thank you for inviting us into your homes tonight. This is Polygamy, What Love Is This? And my name is Doris Hansen. I'm your host. And this is a talk show, and we're focused on the topic of Mormon polygamy. This is a live telephone call-in program. And if you would like to call in with questions or comments about our topic tonight, you are welcome to do so. Our telephone number is 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. Or if you would prefer, you can email us your questions or comments to tv@aboutpolygamy.com. And remember that our show is rebroadcast in the Boise, Idaho area on Sunday afternoons on KCLP Channel 18. And live streaming video allows our viewers from around the globe to watch our show from our website, whatloveisthis.tv, and you can see the link there to connect to the live streaming video capability. And it's this every Thursday evening at 8 p.m. at Mountain Time that you'll be able to do that. And we do have a website that talks about our ministry, our outreach to people in polygamy groups, and that website is shieldandrefuge.org. You can go there and find out more about us. And if you are in a polygamy group, you have questions, or you would like to talk, or if you would like to get out of the group, you can give us a call. We have a toll-free hotline. The number is 877-425-9993. And I would like to specifically speak to the teenagers or the young adults in polygamy groups. You need to know that God never did command polygamy. Your parents have told you you need to live it. Your leader has told you you need to, but God never did say you needed to live polygamy to please Him or to receive eternal glory. We also host a support group, a discussion group, and we meet one night a month, and our next meeting is next Monday night on July 18th at 6:30. And anyone who has been or or is in the process of leaving a polygamy group, you're welcome to come, grab a friend, bring him down, pardon me, to the group meeting. And it begins at 6:30 next Monday, and we do have some very, very good discussions. If you your life has been touched by polygamy in any way, please come. Anyone from any polygamy situation or environment is certainly welcome. And for more details, you can email us tv@aboutpolygamy.com. And I'd also like to remind those in Utah County, the ex-Mormon support group meets on Tuesday, next Tuesday, July 19th at 6 p.m. They're going to be showing the film Mormonism, The Christian View. You can call 801-374-8489 for details. And also a reminder that KTMW TV 20 provides a lot of free Christian programming throughout each week. And this free airtime can be expensive to the station TV 20. If you enjoy and appreciate their Christian broadcasts, and if God nudges you to become involved in their ministry, you can send your donation directly to TV 20 at KTMW TV 20, 314 South Redwood Road, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84104. And as you can imagine, broadcasting true Christianity to this culture does present some huge challenges. And so your prayers and your words of appreciation and encouragement, I'm sure, would be also a blessing to the management. And as most of our viewers probably know, Cody Brown of Sister Wives fame has filed a suit in the federal court to effectively decriminalize polygamy. Now, I've looked through some of the news items and some blogs, and I thought I would mention a couple of comments that I come across. One of them is that there is not and has never been a religion called polygamy. There's never been a religion called sexual assault, and there's never one called impregnation of little girls. Another remark said that this lawsuit may well expose all the ugliness that takes place behind the closed doors of some of the polygamy people for the court and the rest of the world to see. And they mention, how about some of the false bankruptcies, some of the bleeding of the beast that takes place, and the other abuses, systematic abuses, that is normal for some polygamists. So this will be a long and drawn out and frustrating and very interesting legal case to follow. But our message for this show and for this ministry will remain the same no matter what the outcome. And that message is, God had never, ever, at any time commanded, condoned, suggested, or planned polygamy. His salvation plan is centered on Jesus Christ alone and not polygamy. And his commandment to stay away from fornication and to stay away from adultery stands firm. His is one man for one woman forever, not polygamy. Well, our guest tonight, I'd like to get right in with that because we've got some good conversation ahead of us. Our guests tonight are a mother and her son. Both of them were in the documentary Sons of Perdition. Now, Sons of Perdition was a recent documentary that chronicles three young men as they ran away from the strict and abusive lifestyle in the FLDS Church, the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's nicknamed the Crick because it used to be called Short Crick, and it's the towns that straddle the border of Utah and Arizona, Hilldale, Utah, and Colorado City. These three boys quickly discovered when they ran out of the group how ill-equipped that they were to actually survive on the outside world. And so I'd like to introduce as our guest tonight and welcome Georgina Broadbent and her son, Joe Broadbent. Thank you so much for coming to the show, being our guests.
Thank you. Welcome.
Got a story to tell. You told it on the DVD very well. But let's talk about some. We don't have enough time to get through everything we'd like to, so let's just get on with what we'd like to talk about. Well, Warren Jeffs made a lot of comments in the show, in the DVD, and some of the quotes that he made I'd like to kind of ask you about and see how that affected your life while you were still in the group. He said, live faithful so that the prophet can place you properly in marriage. He said, and this was quoted in the film, he said, there's no monogamy in heaven, that's how men become gods and women become heavenly mothers. He said, all will be destroyed who turn away from polygamy. Now, our viewers may not understand this, but this is basic Mormon doctrine, clear back with Joseph Smith. That's the way they taught the early Mormon polygamists, and that's the way Mormon groups believe today. Georgina, how did that affect you? Did the prophet place you in marriage, and were you afraid when you left that you were going to be destroyed based on that?
No. I was placed in marriage when I was 18.
And did the prophet place you?
Yeah, Leroy Johnson did.
He did placing, okay. But when you decided to leave, which was 3.5 years ago?
Yes.
Were you afraid you'd be destroyed?
I was afraid several times when I left that I might be, but then I figured, no, it's better being out here because I have all my children instead of leaving them there in the mm-hmm. abusive situation they were in.
And if you had refused the man that he placed you with, were you under that threat of being destroyed?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So you kind of, a choice of one really isn't much of a choice, is it?
No.
There were some statements that was made as a DVD, as the film, Sons of Perdition went broad. I'm going to mention five of these statements, and it's all about leaving. And then I'm going to ask you a question based on those statements about leaving. One of them was, it's better to die than to leave. Basic Mormon doctrine and basic other polygamy groups say the same thing. When you leave everything behind, and family is everything, right? You left, you said, I think it was you who said you left because you wanted to be something. And when you leave, you can't come back. Did these affect you when you were making the choice to leave? Would you explain what was going in your fears that was going in your mind and when you chose to leave?
Well, growing up, we lived every moment to strive to become someone that the Lord can use in Zion. So the fear that is brought up as a young boy, mm-hmm. young child, you're going to do whatever your father says to do. When I made the choice to leave, it was one of the hardest decisions I've ever made in my life because of the fear that my dad put inside me.
Mm-hmm.
He says, if you leave, you will never see your family again. You will go to hell because of the choice you made.
And that's why the film was named Sons of Perdition, right?
Yes.
Exactly. We were taught exactly that same thing. Exactly. So you had to fight those fears when you left.
I fought them for 2.5-3 years.
After you left?
After I left.
Did you? Did you fight them that long after you left?
Not really, because I felt like the choice that I made was right for me and the children.
Good. That's good. It's nice to be rid of those fears, the sooner the better. Joe, how many moms and how many siblings did you have?
I had 2 mothers and 21 siblings.
21? Is that for both families, from both
yes.
mothers? 21. And were you the first wife or the second wife?
First.
First wife. Okay, well, that was, I think, good. In most
yeah,
cases
it is.
Okay. Joe, when you left, you said you had 2 wheelbarrows, I think you said, of belongings when you left. What did you take? Just clothes? Is that all you had?
Yeah, I just had... I think 5 or 6 suitcases full of my clothes and personal items. Put them in the wheelbarrows and took them out to the road. And, you know, it was getting dark, so I had to hurry before, you know, father came home, and loaded them up in a pickup from a man who had left years before I did, and I called him up.
So he helped you leave?
Yeah, he came from St. George and picked me up. And.
Mm-hmm.
I would say about 3 miles out of Colorado City, I got a feeling that I escaped something that was a lie, and I felt complete freedom.
Mm.
And it's hard to explain the emotions you go through.
It is, and unless you experience it, I don't think we can, really. I remember feeling those emotions when I realized I was free. I left in the middle of the night and nobody followed me and I was free. And it was just an emotion you can't explain, but it is wonderful. Joe, you said that when you left, you had to relearn everything. You had to start fresh. You'd been sheltered all your life. When you leave, nothing matters now because you're going to hell anyway. And so you made a list of activities and that you entitled that list, What I Want to Do Before I Go to Hell. What was number 1 and number 2 on your list?
Number 1 was to get my family out of Colorado City. Number 2 was to just live the life that I wanted to live.
Make your own decisions?
Make my own decisions.
Your own choices. You talked about going and what was it like to buy your own clothes the first time and hang out at the malls and watch the girls and talk to the girls.
It was an interesting experience. you know, your first movie, you're so sucked into the movie that you don't want to watch more and more and more. And I did. I watched TV for 3 weeks straight.
Wow.
After I left.
Wow. You learned a lot watching, didn't you?
Yeah.
Those movies. Did you do the same thing?
Yeah, the kids... loved the Xbox and got into the video games because they'd never seen TV before. We just watched
wow.
like family videos, but that was...
Those video games must have been something for
yeah,
them
they
to
were,
experience first time.
Yeah, it was. It was fun for them.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. I kind of felt for you when you mentioned that you wanted to just hang out and talk to girls because, you know, Warren Jeff just... Didn't he teach that girls were to be treated like snakes?
Yes.
And how did that affect you when you got out and started relationships with the opposite
sex? Well,
it took me
6 months to a year to get comfortable, you know, talking to a girl. Out there, we're taught from a very young age to treat women like snakes. And, there's no dating out there. You can't talk to them. In
mm-hmm.
school, the classes were separated from boys to girls.
Mm-hmm.
So it made it hard after you leave to...
To learn, know how to relate
What are the first steps
to
talking to a girl?
Yeah, yeah. That's got to be difficult. Georgina, Joe said in the film, you hurt those you leave behind. If you try to see them after you leave, you're not their son anymore. After Joe left and the family was still behind, did they treat you differently? Were you punished in any way or treated differently because he did what he did?
I was just told that I was a bad mother for not teaching, for not having enough to be an example to my children to why they wanted to leave. It was my fault.
Mm-hmm.
It was all my fault of why my children left.
Warren Jeff said parents had to suffer for their children's sins and that there's no redemption for them if they fail to raise their children in the work. Did you believe that, or did you really feel that?
I believed that at first, that I felt like it was my fault, that I hadn't done all that I could for my children. But then when I looked at doing the very best I could, I felt like that I was doing the right thing.
Did you know why Joe left when he left? Did you kind of, were you kind of glad that he did get out?
Yeah, I'm glad that they got out, but it's sad because you don't get to have anything to do with them or talk to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Did he try to contact you after he was gone?
He did. He came to the house a couple of times, and we just had to be real sneaky about it and make sure it was dark, and he'd come to the back door and talk to me, and finally I just said, Joe, I can't take this anymore. I want out. I want to get out of here.
Good for you. Good for you. So you went to work, were finding a way to get him out and get her out and your sisters and your brother? How did all that come about?
Well, after time you get homesick, you miss your family.
Yeah.
And after mom said those words that, you know, I want out, I want, you know, to think on my own, that was a big spark in my head to do everything that I could to get her out.
And you made some failed attempts, didn't you? With this,
absolutely.
Especially Hillary, as shown in the film.
She ran away 7 times.
Wow. Were you taught growing up free agency?
Well, they told us, you know, you have complete free agency, but if you choose the wrong one, you're going to go to hell.
But they don't allow you to really make the choice for free agency because they keep you in prison down there, in a sense, don't they?
Right.
Did you realize you were in prison while you were there, or did that even connect?
It really didn't connect
yet
to me as, you know, growing up. You know, I thought out there was life.
Yeah.
You know, this is the way we live.
Yeah. What's the most exciting thing that you've done since you got out?
Think.
Think for yourself.
Be able to be with all my children, because I have all 12 of them.
They're all 12 are out, huh?
All 12 are out. Six had left before I did, and now I have 6 that live with me.
You are blessed. That is unusual. A lot of women would, and I know a lot of women came from the FLDS that haven't had all their children out like that. You're blessed. And I think you know that, too.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah. And because you were strong enough and cared enough for them to go back for them. Warren Jeff said that the FLDS are the chosen by God to be born in the FLDS. They're true pure blood of Ephraim, whatever that means. But did that teaching make you feel like you were special or better than people on the outside?
I thought of that every single day. When we'd go out of town to work, I would be walking through Walmart, you know, running in the back or whatever, and I see an apostate or a Gentile, and I automatically thought that they were going to hell and I was better than them. After I left, it confused me.
Yeah.
You know, people are way better than I ever dreamt that they would be. You know, there are great people out here,
mm-hmm,
that,
mm-hmm,
are striving to become better and better.
Mm-hmm. People that will help each other and not hurt each other and not force you to do something you don't want to do. Would you want to say your experience with that? Did you feel like you were better than others?
When I was there growing up and teaching my children, I thought we were better than all the people out there. But when I got out here, there's just so many wonderful people that I've met that have done nothing but help and bless my lives, that I know that there's millions of good people out here.
Yeah. And we were taught in the Kingston group too that everybody on the outside were no good. There's no way they could ever go to heaven. But that, for some reason, that didn't affect me as thinking I was better than anyone else. And probably because my own home life was that I was so, every sin, you know, I was never worthy, I was never good enough. So not only were the people on the outside bad, so was I. So I never really did have that till I got out and realized, you know, that people are people all over, wherever they are. Did someone mentioned that Warren Jeffs has somewhere around 80 wives. We talked about this the other night, and you just kind of laughed and said, that's not right. Would you like to correct that figure to your best estimation?
When I was living in St. George, one of Warren Jeffs' wives, Janetta Jessup, had left him and moved in with a group of us. She explained that she was the 63rd wife, and every other weekend after that, he was getting remarried.
Wow.
Another wife.
Every other week, he would get a new wife. So how many wives?
No one really knows. I mean, it could be over 100. It could be over 130.
Is he still getting married while he's in jail?
Not that I know of.
I don't think so.
They can do some strange things in these polygamy groups. So if he has 130 wives, 129 men don't get a wife, right?
Right.
And that's where the Lost Boys story comes in, isn't it? But there are a lot of boys and unmarried men in the group?
There's a lot of them.
What do they do?
Work.
They work. They, you know, spend every moment trying to better themselves so that they can get a wife.
But if there's not any girls, they can't get a wife, can they?
Right.
Do they have a sense of hopelessness with this? Because if you're not a polygamist, you don't go to heaven in their teaching.
That's why we're all patient and we're supposed to keep sweet.
Young boys are supposed to keep sweet too, right?
Everybody is, no matter what.
I was going to ask you that a little bit later. What does keep sweet mean to you? Joe, we had a discussion the other day about the construction projects and the boys learn at a very early age because their dads take them on the construction projects. They learn how to do welding, sheetrock, finish work, and heavy equipment. Would you tell us how old you were when you started working on these projects and what heavy equipment and finish work you can do? What did you learn and at what age?
I started around, you know, 8 and 10 years old working for my dad. At 10 years old, I was driving forklift. You know, he had his
10 years old.
And when he had his company, you know, I was driving backhoe, loader, skid steer, water truck, earth mover, road grader, compactor, you name it. And the skills I have, I'm happy that I grew up that way, because after leaving, I had those skills.
Mm-hmm.
And I can do a lot of work, like concrete, sheetrock, welding, painting.
And you're not afraid of work, so you're an
Absolutely
industrious
not.
Young man, and most people are when they come out like that. But did that scare you for your young boys to go out on construction during that?
No, it was fun to watch them go with their dad and learn all these new trades, because I thought years to come they're going to need it. But yeah, I was kind of scared sometimes when I watch them out there on the backhoes and trackhoes, but they were having fun with their dad, so.
Wow. Were there many accidents as a result of the young boys doing this?
What did I know of?
Men's work?
There's a few. You know, you get a sense of, don't know the word, but you know, you get overexcited and...
A little empowerment there, huh?
Start doing crazy things.
Mm. Did the authorities ever come in on these construction sites? How did they get by with this child labor?
Not that I know of. You know, the dads kept them pretty hid, you know, to not be caught.
Do you know if they were ever investigated for having the young boys work in... Because some of these construction sites are...
I don't think anybody made a big deal of it, because it was right there in the community.
Oh, but you didn't go outside of the community and do this work?
Very little.
Oh, I see.
Most of it was done in the community.
I see. Okay. So if you went out on a commercial job, if your parents were working on a commercial job, the young boys didn't go with?
Most of the time.
Because there's been some complaints of child labor on on some federal projects and other, but that wasn't the case with you.
Right.
What's your favorite job, your favorite heavy equipment to operate?
Probably the excavator. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah? What did you do with your paycheck when you were inside the group, and what do you do with your paycheck on the outside?
Well, inside, we're taught that 10% is tithing, and that goes to the prophet. And that's your, you know, way to heaven. What I did was flipped it over, signed my name, and gave it to my dad. He would go and cash it and give me 10%. I would put it in an envelope, and I would go give it to the bishop. I never did it. I kept the money.
You did?
I kept the money so that I could leave.
Oh, you. Wow, you're resourceful, aren't you?
And then out here, I try to save as much as I can to, you know, help the family out to survive. It's hard when you don't grow up out here knowing what you have to face when you're 18 or when you're ready to move on.
It is. What surprised you the most, either one of you, when you came out into a world that you hadn't lived in before, and social structure may be different than what you're used to? What was the biggest surprise to you that you had to face in this big world?
The people were so nice to me that I was able to start a conversation and they would continue. It helped me with my social life.
That was a big way for me, was to become social, a social creature, because I wasn't at all. How about you?
Yeah, I joined one of these family support centers and went every week, and it just boosted my confidence and my gratitude for how many wonderful people there are out there that are really trying to help you.
Yeah. Yeah, and you find out you're a real person, you know, when you come out, that you can be your own person. Georgina, were your husband's wife or other family reassigned? Did he suffer anything after you left, or was he able to keep his family when you left?
He kept the other wife and her children.
Because they do reassign families. Do they still do that? I know they did quite a bit when Warren Jeffs was first prophet. Are they still doing that?
Yes.
They're still reassigning wives and families, taking them away. And you wake up the next morning and you've got a brand new daddy and a brand new
mommy and
mommy
everybody
and
else.
Brand
new
brothers and sisters and the whole bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not abusive? Is that abusive, do you think?
I think it is. I think it's wrong.
I would say that's very abusive. You know, that's mind-boggling.
I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that either. What Warren Jeffs said, a woman's duty is to bless her husband every moment. A woman tries to rule over her husband by complaining, criticism, and jealousy, and they are the tools of the devil. What power that a woman can really have over her husband is to be obedient and innocent. Is that the way your home was?
Yeah. You had to be submissive, obedient, sweet.
Keep sweet.
And do everything you were told to do, no matter what.
Did you ever question or not stay sweet?
That's probably where I am, because I questioned and I wanted something different.
How were you treated when you questioned?
Well, I usually didn't. I kept it to myself, but yeah. I just knew there wasn't. It was wrong. Something wasn't right.
We're going to open up the telephone lines right now. We're still having some conversation to go, but if you have questions that you'd like to ask our guests, please give us a call, 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820, and you can call and ask our guests a question or make statements if you would like to say something to them. Georgina, this comment that Warren Jeff said really bothers me. He said, obey your husband at the expense of your child or children. Did you recall hearing that while you were in the group, and do you believe that that's what they expected you to do? Did your children belong to you, or did they belong to the priesthood?
They belonged to priesthood. You were supposed to raise them up the best you can, but they were known as Warren's children.
So you were to obey
Do you obey your husband while he obeys the prophet?
At the expense of your children.
Right.
How do you think about that, Joe?
Well, growing up, it was, you know, I did everything I could to, you know, become perfect so that I could become, you know, a son of Zion, so I could build Zion.
You know, God has given us children, I'm sure you understand this now, but God has given us children as parents to love and to nurture and to raise in safety and be their protector and their provider. We don't ignore them and at the expense of their safety or anything else for anyone. It must scare people to death. If your daughter is allowed to marry a priesthood, an old priesthood polygamist, does that child, and I don't, you know, some of the ages have been pretty young, some of them are 18 like you were. I was 18 before I got out, and I hadn't been placed in any marriage yet, but I had been promised. But at any rate, does that child's feelings matter if this girl, young girl, is going to be married and placed? Do her feelings or her concerns or her fears matter? I think we see that in the lesson wall, that there wasn't much caring there.
They don't have a feel, aren't supposed to even question. They're supposed to know that what they're doing is right, and they're supposed to be married given by their father to the prophet. Say, you take my daughter and marry whoever she's supposed to be married to. And it's hard. I mean, Hillary was 14. I didn't want her to get married.
But she was promised, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was going to get married. She told me later she was getting married to her cousin. I had no idea who it was.
You got her out before she did?
Yes, oh, yeah. She did.
That's when I heard the conversation that she was going to get married and I was going to be sent back home. That's when I called all my kids and I said, I need your help.
That was a pretty exciting part in the film where you got out and your father came to get her and you called the police, but you went back.
Yeah, because he told me, I'll take your children away from you and you'll never see them again. And when you're told that and you're scared, you don't really know what you're doing, then yeah, I went back.
How long were you back before you left for permanently?
Probably nine, well, let's see. It was, I left November of 06, and then I left permanently November of 07.
Another year?
Mm-hmm.
Another year later. Was that a long, hard year?
Well, he told me it was going to be better if I came back and did all the things I was told to do. But after about a month, everything went right back to what it was. Mm-hmm. And I just said, I'm done with it. I don't want any more part of this anymore.
Yeah.
Can't talk to any of my children that have left. And he kept calling me a dumb blonde and that I was a dumb mother and I wasn't worth anything. And I just didn't like it anymore. This isn't what a family's supposed to be. We're supposed to be support each other and everything.
Warren Jeff says girls are as precious gems. Are they really treated as precious gems or as commodity to be bartered off?
They are precious gems because they want to keep the girls around so they can be married.
But they're not treated that way after they're married.
No, they're like cows, I guess.
Yeah. So what part did you play? Did you help every one of the brothers and sisters leave and your mother? How did you do that?
Well, the older four left before I did. They left on their own. After I left, you know, I got the call from Mom that she wanted out. I went through a long process getting Mother out. We had my dad put a restraining order on me. At the time, I didn't know what a restraining order was. So I went out there, you know, to see Hillary, to see Mother, just out of the blue, went out and got arrested for trespassing. Went and saw a judge, and I explained everything, and he dropped it, of course.
Good.
But it was a process to get Mom out. I had a man help me legally get a restraining order against Dad so that Dad couldn't see Mom and the children. So one night we got it all prepared, and we helped Mom escape that night. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Was that scary that night when you got out of there?
It was tense.
It was terrifying.
It was. We didn't know if James was, my ex was going to show up. because before the first time when I left, he had tracked me on my phone, mm-hmm. so he was able to find me.
Mm-hmm.
And this time I left my phone and turned it off, and then he couldn't find me.
Yeah.
And then I got the restraining orders against him, and I was gone, and it was just good. So relieved to just be out of there.
You know, people will say to me, you must have been terribly brave. You were so brave to get out. And I'd say, I wasn't brave. I was desperate. You know, you do things that you might think is bravery, but you're when you're desperate.
You were hungry for freedom.
I was scared to death. I don't know that I was brave at all. Okay, we've got some calls coming in, but before we go to the phone calls, we would like to play the little information that we have about a Shield and Refuge ministry. Are you thinking of leaving your polygamous situation? Are you afraid to leave because you might lose the love of your friends and your family and perhaps even the love of God? Are you afraid you'll become destitute if you do leave? When I ran away from my fundamentalist upbringing and the polygamy environment I was raised in, I had no safe place to go, no place that I knew that I would be safe after I left. And I was so naive, I didn't know that I was exchanging one bad situation for another one. In those days, there were no organizations established to help people who needed to safely exit a polygamist environment. That's why a Shield and Refuge ministry exists today. We're here to help those who want to leave a polygamous situation safely and without fear. We do provide you with a safe refuge, and you will be shielded from those who would harm you. So if you're thinking of leaving your polygamous situation, give us a call. We're here waiting to hear from you. Our telephone number, toll-free, is 1-877-425-9993. If you have access to the internet, you can locate us at www.shieldandrefuge.org. And you can contact us immediately, day or night. We would love to help you. God has made a promise in Psalm 91:4. That he shall cover you with his feathers, and you can take refuge under his wings. And it's his truth that will be your shield. And that's why we're here. We want to help anyone who's watching the show tonight. If you're thinking about leaving, give us a call. Come to our support group. Joe said he's going to try and be at our support group Monday night. Come and let's talk. Give us a call on our toll-free number. We'll do everything we can to help you. And before we start the phone calls, I would just like to mention that this afternoon I received a telephone call from the Gift of Grace Christian Book and Gift Store in Springville this afternoon. You know, it is very difficult for a Christian bookstore to stay in business and to stay afloat in this culture. And they have for over 4 years in the Springville area, and we're thankful for that. But she did tell me that they are closing their doors and they're going out of business. And she wanted me to mention it to our viewers that everything in the store is on sale. There's a closeout sale for all the Christian items in the store. And so if you would like to drop in, go down there real soon, give them some encouragement and pray for them and find some good books and good deals on Christian books and gifts and encourage and pray for them as they make this transition. That's the Gift of Grace Christian Bookstore, 248 South Main in Springville. And we'd like to thank them for the years that they did stay in there. Okay, we've got some calls here. We've got Heidi calling from South Jordan on line 2. Hello, Heidi.
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment. I just wanted to say that I probably like other people saying that you are brave. I commend you very completely that you're able to do this. I just finished reading Carol Jessup's book about leaving the polygamy,
mm-hmm.
and it brought me to tears, all the things that you've had to endure, and just
It's a whole different world.
I hope you guys have a better life now, and good luck to you.
And thank you. Thank you, Heidi. It's a whole new world, isn't it, out here? Have you read Carolyn's book?
Yes.
You both read the book. And she went through a lot of problems getting out, probably more different ones than you did. We all have our own little journey that we have to make to do it. But when you read that, I thought I had it bad. You know, when I was in the group and I read her book, I didn't have it bad at all compared to some of the things that other women have had to go through. So thank you for that call, Heidi. Okay, Sydney is calling. Hello, Sydney.
Hello, and thank you for taking my call. I have a question.
How do mothers and fathers allow their children and, you know, daughters to marry a man who already has quite a few wives? I just don't understand that.
How do the parents? I'm explaining your question to her. How do the parents allow their children to marry a polygamous man? She doesn't quite understand how that can happen.
It's a revelation from God that your daughter is given to the prophet, given to marriage.
That's what they're taught.
And is it true that some believe that a man can call their wife up to heaven if they feel like it once they die?
Were you taught that your husband called you out of the grave and to heaven, and if he didn't call you, you didn't make it?
Yeah, we learned about that, and that if a woman stays obedient and submissive to her husband all her life, then when she dies, then he can call her out of the grave to come up to the celestial kingdom.
Of course, that's not biblical. That certainly isn't anything the Bible teaches. That's a revelation that really wasn't from God. That isn't true. Jesus is the resurrection.
That's what kind of figured. I don't remember reading in the Bible it said that, but...
No, it doesn't.
So, was it really hard for you to get out of that? I mean, how did that come about?
Well, when you have your first six children leave, and then you get your other children taken away, and you get threatened and told that you're going to go to hell, and if you don't be obedient and do the things you're asked to do by your husband, then you want to stay there and be faithful and true. But after all that happens, you want to get out of there. You're scared, and you want to live a different life to be able to think and do things for yourself.
Okay. Thanks so much for answering my questions.
Thank you, Sydney, for calling.
No problem. Bye.
Bye. Joel, we were talking the other day about basics of this, and the idea came up. I thought of this as we talked about Carolyn's book, The Waterboarding. And you actually saw that water torture. You said you did while you were in the group. Is that correct?
I don't remember.
Talking about that, where the water was thrown in the baby's face when it cried?
Yes, when I was out to Colorado City living out there, I've heard, and mother has experienced it, where when the child is crying, you know, some of the fathers out there are really abusive, and they'll hold the child's face under water to make them stop crying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's wrong.
And you've seen it happen.
I've seen it happen.
And you've seen it happen.
You can't do anything about it.
And did they do that to your children?
Yeah. My ex did it to most of my children, or blowing their face, or... Yeah, that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then I couldn't do anything about it.
You can't do anything. You're just helpless as you watch them do it. And a lot of people say, how can the mothers do that? The mothers should... How can they... But you don't have any control. The women have absolutely no power at all.
And you're not supposed to feel sorry for them.
Yeah.
And have them come and run to you and say, Daddy did this and Daddy did that. You're just like, well, you weren't obedient. You were naughty, so... And they're 9 months old. That's...
Yeah. Well, my little brother was also... That happened to him. And I was so young, I didn't know what was going on. Joe, were you groomed to become a polygamist man when you grew up at all? Or did that never happen?
No, that never really happened. I mean, I was too young, you know, to be prepared to be an elder. You know, I left at 17, so I wasn't
mm-hmm.
close.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
That was good.
And Georgina, hair is sacred in God's sight. That's what Warren Jeff said. And yet, most of the women that leave the FLDS, particularly the FLDS, has this long hair thing with the women. Did you have long hair? And
yeah,
how long did it
down to hair.
How long did it take you to get to the beauty salon?
Three weeks. 3 weeks, and I got it all cut off, and it was down here longer, but then I'm starting to get a little bit shorter.
Then you just graduated shorter from there. Were you scared to have it cut, or were you excited?
No, I loved it. I was just like, wow, this is a new thing.
Did you ever regret cutting it?
No.
I never forget it. It's very pretty. Very pretty. It's easy to take care of, too,
yeah,
isn't
it? Is.
It's interesting, some of the things that the fear that they put into you, they just put fear. And you know, one of the wonderful things I found when I started studying the Bible is that God's love, God is love, and perfect love casts out fear. We're not supposed to live in fear. That isn't the way God meant us to live at all. you talked about the incident where the dogs were all shot, where Warren Jeff says no more dogs in the community. So you rounded up all the dogs and took them, or they did, and took them out somewhere and shot them, killed them all. Now for a dog lover, this is a heartbreak. Did that affect the community very badly with those, especially the dog owners, and did there seem to be any compassion with the men that were doing this?
There was a lot of men that didn't want to do that. You know, that, like you said, they were dog lovers. They, you know, they were part of their family.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're taught that to not question why. When the prophet speaks, you move. And it was sad to see all the dogs out there in a pile.
Did you have a dog?
I didn't at the time.
How did it affect you?
Just seeing my friends, you know, sad and down all the time because they, you know, they lost a pet, you know, a friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So are there any dogs in the community now? Have they ever been allowed back?
Not on Warren Jeff's side. We have apostates that live out there that have dogs, so.
Apostates that have dogs. Isn't that something? what part in your life in the group, in your home, did the Bible have? Did it have any part in your growing up, in your learning at all?
When I was growing up, it was, I don't remember, very, very little of the Bible was, you know, taught into our lives. We studied the Book of Mormon.
Did you? I understand that some of the writings of Warren Jeffs and some of his tapes became almost your scriptures, too.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes. At the end, before I left 6 years ago, that's all we studied was Warren's teachings. You know, whatever he made up, whatever visions and that he had, you know, that's what the people followed.
Did you believe him? Did you believe that he was a prophet?
I did for a while. I mean, yeah, he was such a good person. And then when things started changing and people being reassigned and all the things that we used to do as families were all taken away from us, and a lot of people would question it. I did. I just felt like it wasn't right.
Yeah.
We didn't study the Bible very much. If we wanted to read it on our own, we could. But most of it was the Book of Mormon and the teachings of Warren.
One lady told me that they were instructed to throw their Bibles out at one point, and so a lot of them did. But they weren't even allowed, so that would have been a change. And did you think Warren Jeffs was a prophet?
At the time, yes.
Were you afraid of him? Were you in awe of him?
You could say I was afraid, because if I would have done anything wrong, you know, he would have been able to kick me out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, growing up as a teenager, I looked up to him as, you know, a descendant from God.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's... There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus. It's not Warren Jeffs. It's not the prophet of any church or any leader. It's only Jesus Christ. We have an off-the-air question. It says, when they left, did they join the LDS Church?
No.
Nope.
Okay, that's your answer. All right, line two. We have Barbara in Tooele calling. Hello, Barbara. Barbara. Turn your TV down, Barbara.
Okay, it's down.
Okay, you're on the air.
Well, I just want to make a comment on the last lady that called in on how the FLDS taught that the husband would call them forth from the grave, and how much that's like the LDS Church. I was born and raised LDS, and I left 3 years ago, because I saw so much hypocrisy and everything in the church that I didn't want to be a member of it anymore. And I have since found a Christian church that I'm attending and loving. I'm learning the Bible, and we were never taught the Bible, really, in the LDS church. And it just seems so strange to me how close these religions are, you know, because we were always told that the FLDS was so far from us. But it seems like they're so close to the LDS church that it's just a very fine line.
You know, Barbara, that's true. I discovered that when I started doing my own studies. And I read an article from that a Mormon missionary had written after he got back from his mission, and he had gone to some polygamy groups, and or one particular group, I'm not sure which one, and was teaching them from the Book of Mormon. And he said he was shocked to find out that the polygamists read the Book of Mormon, that they knew more about the Book of Mormon than he did. And that's exactly true. I was raised in the Kingston group, and we were raised on Mormon doctrine. You were raised on the same Doctrine and Covenants and Pearl of Great Price and Book of Mormon. So that's Mormon doctrine, isn't it? So you're right, Barbara.
My mother, my sister, and my brother all joined a polygamous group. It was called The Branch out of St. George.
Mm.
And it taught a lot of that, but it ended up having so much child molestation in it that it fell apart.
Mm. I don't think they fell apart. I think they've reorganized and moved out of town, went somewhere else.
Could be. Yeah. But there's a lot of that in the Mormon church as well as in the FLDS church, I do believe.
Yeah, there is a lot of it. A lot of it's hidden.
And the studying I've done, Joseph Smith as well as Brigham Young marrying the Y vision, if they didn't step to me, that's molestation.
Well, Joseph Smith married two 14-year-old girls.
Yeah.
And a 15 or a 16-year-old, too. In fact, I think seven of his wives were all under 20, and he was in his late 30s.
Yeah, it's kind of disgusting.
Yeah. Well, that's what
I know that I have a son that is in prison right now for child molestation, and he did it when he was a teenager, and I told the bishop and the state president, and I contacted the head of the church when they wanted to send him on a mission, and they all told me I needed to change my ways, and he was sent on a mission to Scotland.
Oh,
and
mercy.
Then he comes back and is charged with child molestation and is sent to prison.
Wow.
And yet, I'm the one that was supposed to be accountable for not doing more to keep him from going on a mission.
Hmm. Wow. Interesting, some of these stories that come out, isn't it? Well, thank
it
you,
is.
Barbara.
I really appreciate your program and really enjoy watching it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Bye. She brought up the child abuse. Was there much, and if you don't want to talk about this or if you don't know anything about it, that's fine too, but if there's anything that you can talk about or want to, was there much child abuse, whether it was sexual or physical or other incidents?
Well, that's the main reason why I left, was because of the abuse from my dad, physically. You know, it wasn't a slap or a spank.
Mm-hmm.
It, for me, it was kicked around the yard. It was push brooms broken over my back.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, sometimes it's hard to talk about.
It is. I understand. I was abused as well from both my mother and my father. And there's nothing you could do about it. Did you know about all of the...
Yeah. But you just can't do anything about it.
Did you ever secretly go in and hug them and
they'd always better? Come to me later and I'd just say, well... I guess you weren't sweet enough, so that's why you got beat. But I'm here for you.
So when you hear somebody say, keep sweet now, what do you think? Do you kind of cringe a little bit?
Yeah, it makes me chuckle.
Yeah. Okay, whatever.
You had a sister, Sabrina, in the film that she finally got out of the group, but she was unable to bring her children. And, in fact, Sabrina is with us tonight. For our viewers, did she ever get her children out?
She has not. We're in the process of trying to get them out. But at the same time, she doesn't want to
take him away.
Have enemies with the husband.
Right.
You know? He's a good father.
It's wise to keep peace. If he's a good father and there's not abuse going on, that's good. And unusually, she is able to go see them, right?
Yes.
She's able to visit them. And that helps with the heartbreak as
yes.
they work through that. So that's good to hear. Okay, we got a call coming in from Larry in Salt Lake City. Hello, Larry.
How are you doing?
Very good, thank you. We got to hurry.
You've only... I have a couple of three questions I'd like to ask.
Okay.
The first one is, I was just wondering what line of priesthood that Warren Jeps gets his authority from. And then I'd like to ask, when after Joe and his mom left the group, did they at all, any time, feel in fear for their lives, like they had to kind of look over their shoulder for a while after they left, like maybe they might be hunted down or something?
Okay, we've only got a few, probably 30 seconds to answer the question. So were you afraid of your lives after you left?
I was for about a year. I was only 17 at the time when I left, and I had a year before I turned 18.
Uh-huh.
So I looked over my shoulder almost every single day. But when I turned 18...
You weren't afraid anymore.
I wasn't afraid.
Were you afraid? Were you afraid of blood atonement or anything like that?
No. Once I got that protective order, I felt like we can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And the judge told him, he says, well, we got Warren and we'll get you if you try to harm your family.
That's good.
So.
And Larry, the priesthood authority, there is no priesthood authority on this planet except Jesus Christ. So whether it's from the FLDS or the LDS, it doesn't matter. And we really have to shut down now. We're closing, running out of time. Thank you for your call. And thank you for coming. We appreciate your being here. There's never enough time when we've got stories like yours to deal with, but we're glad you came. And thanks so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
And I'd like to close the show by talking about Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, the biblical definition for the word gift is charisma, and it means a gift of grace. It means a gift involving grace. God is the donor of that gift, and it's his free bestowment upon sinners. But Doctrine and Covenants 14:7 says, if you keep my commandments and endure to the end, you will have eternal life. Which gift is the greatest of all the gifts of God? You know, keeping commandments and enduring to the end isn't a gift. It's earning. It's earning eternal life. That isn't a gift. Romans 6:23 says that we earn wages of sin, not eternal life. But Doctrine and Covenants says you have to earn it through your works. Chapter 5 of Romans tells us that eternal life is a gift given by God through Jesus Christ, not by works. Romans 11:6 explains that grace and works don't mix. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us that salvation is by grace, not by works. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. It's done. It's finished. Polygamy will not cover your sins. The work for our salvation is completed by Jesus. That way, it can be a gift, a free gift. God doesn't require anything of us but to accept his free gift and not to add anything to it and not try to take anything from it. Jesus' work on the cross is a power of salvation to everyone who believes, not to everyone who earns it or works for it. Jesus Christ alone is the Savior. Polygamy is not the Savior. The polygamy group in the United Order isn't the Savior. Jesus Christ is. He gave us a gift of eternal life. Take his gift tonight. Thank you. Good night.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes as well as download audio episodes of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email@whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again.